so. I have my water up here with me today. So I may cough from time to time, just like I did. Must just be that time of year, I suppose. Before we delve into the text this morning from 1 John, I'm just going to read two verses, verses 6 and 7. But before we delve into that, into the text this morning and examine it, I want us to go back for a minute because to Genesis. Back to Genesis chapter 1. Mike reminded me of this last Sunday, and I believe it's important in seeing the understanding of the metaphors that John uses here between light and darkness. He uses both in his gospel and here in his epistles, because it does have to do with going all the way back to the beginning. We know that John said in verse 5, "This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." John kind of tells us that it begins with Yahweh. It begins with God. So if you look back all the way to the beginning of the scriptures, in Genesis chapter 1, now, literally in the Hebrew, in verse 1 of Genesis, we would have it translated in our Bibles, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." But in the Hebrew, it literally says, "In beginning." There's no "the" there. There's no definite article there in the Hebrew. Literally, it says, "In beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." That's stating, just like what we read in the book of Revelation, when Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." So right from the very start here, we see that the scriptures tell us, in beginning, to begin it all, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void. Here it comes. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface on the waters, or hovering. Some translations say brooding. In the Hebrew, what that literally means is that God was in thinking. He was in the process. After he had created the heavens and the earth, what he was about to do. And then, verse 3. And remember, darkness was over the surface of the deep. It says in the beginning he created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. Verse 3. Then God said, "Let there be light." And literally in the Hebrew, once again, what it says there is, "Let light be." And there was light. And then verse 4 says, "God saw that the light was good." And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning one day. Now, it's interesting here that when you read this in Genesis, where it says that God said, let there be light, or let be light, and there was light, and he separated the light from the darkness. It's interesting, and he called it night and day. It's interesting, there's no mention yet of the moon or the sun. Notice that? No mention yet of that. Not until Noah separated the mist of the waters from the waters, and he's making our oceans and our seas. He made the expanse, separated the waters which were below the expanse and waters which were above the expanse, and it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. There was evening, there was morning, the second day. And then you go on, and it's not until after the third day. In verse 14, then God said, let be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And let be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, the sun, and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. But before that even took place, there was light, and there was darkness. And he separated that light and darkness. Called one day and called one night. There's a whole lot of significance within that. As John says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. He separated light from darkness. He said, light, let light be. He is the one who created that. But notice, when you look at Genesis, there was darkness. It never says that God created what? Darkness. He separated light from darkness. There was darkness. He made light. To illuminate and separate that darkness. Now, John says God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all, none. What that tells us is that, again, as I said, God did not create darkness. He separated it. And as he is light, no darkness in him at all. But the darkness that John is talking about, and you can even take that as far as going back to Genesis, was there. But who was over all the darkness? God didn't create it. God didn't create what darkness entails. He's allowed it. But who brought that darkness, ultimate darkness? Why, it's Satan, isn't it? See, that all has to do with what John is saying here. And that's why it's important to see, to harmonize that, and to see how that goes together with what it says in Genesis, in the beginning. And I believe that as well, that it teaches us that God, as light, He separated Himself and those angels with Him from those who were darkness, meaning Satan, and those who went with the angels who went with Him. And I believe that happened all before, long before Adam and Eve, long before He created heavens and the earth. I think the angels were already there. The angels, He'd already created them. That had already taken place. And the war in heaven, when Satan, when Lucifer was cast out, happened before this. And He separated Himself, light, and everything which entails light, from the darkness which Satan and his minions represent. And there's significance in the scriptures when you look at what night entails, why God calls the day light day and darkness night. There's a lot involved in that. And that brings us to what John says now. Because before we can get a grip on that, we have to understand that all encompasses Yahweh, God as light. And in Him there is no darkness at all. Remember that John is, he's talking against those who believe that God is the creator of both good and evil, light and darkness. And he's all part of that. And John's saying, no, 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 no. No. In him there is no darkness at all. He's fully light. And as a result of that, John begins here with an if clause. And this if clause is negative. Now, every time you see the little word if, what that means, and that's meant much that many people don't like to let's say, consider or believe, is that it is conditional. It means conditions. And he begins with a negative clause. If we say, that we have fellowship with Him, and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth, or practice truth. Now we, Paul uses that in the first, what he calls the first person plural, meaning that what John is saying here, that it doesn't just refer to the apostles, or those in John's audience. John is saying this applies to all people equally. Past, present, and future. You see, the Gnostics and those like them, They were saying, we have fellowship with God. We have fellowship with God more than you do. Because we know more than you do. We have a secret knowledge that's been given to us by Him. So we have fellowship with Him. They were teaching that. They were saying that. And Paul comes along and says, if we say we have fellowship with God. Now that fellowship, as I said last week, when John says in verse 3, indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That word fellowship, where we get our term communion, koinonia. It means not just that we get together and, you know, we get chit-chat and eat and what have you. That word means that we have a joint participation in with one another. We're involved with one another. We share our lives with one another. And John comes along and said, if we say we have fellowship with Him, with who? With God. That we have that joint participation with God. That we're involved with Him. He's involved with us. And yet, walk in darkness. We lie. And do not practice the truth. You see, brothers and sisters, what that has to do with folks is with conduct and behavior. It's one thing to say that you have fellowship with Him. But are you living that way? Are we living that way? Is that a constant thing? You see, by the word walk, again, as I said, when Paul uses it, when John uses it, he doesn't mean this. He's not talking about literally walking. He's talking about how one lives their life, how one conducts themselves, how one behaves, how one acts, and yes, how one thinks. And he means by that to do that habitually, continually, because he uses the present tense here. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk, present tense, continuous action, in the darkness. John is saying that you can't do that. You can't do that and have fellowship with God. Now, how are they walking in the darkness? See, that's a familiar metaphor that John uses. And you also find in our Lord. That's why I say it's important to also understand the beginning in Genesis there too, as well as you move forward. Notice what it says in the Gospel of John. In John 8. Verse 12, notice what the Lord says. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. Jesus says, he who follows me will not walk in the darkness. Then in chapter 9, verse 9, No, that's not the one I want. Verse 3 and 4. Jesus answered, "It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him." Now notice what he says. "We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work." Why? Because of darkness. "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world," he says. And then, chapter 11, verse 9 following. Jesus answered, "Are there no 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." See the contrast there, and even with the Lord, between night and dark, between night, darkness, light, day. See the contrast there? That's for a purpose. In John chapter 12, one more, John chapter 12, verse 35 following. So Jesus said to them, "For a little while longer, the light," meaning himself, "the light is among you. Walk, live, walk while you have the light, so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of light." Notice what he says there. You see the contrast that even Jesus makes between light and darkness? What does darkness represent? Darkness represents everything, as I said last week. Darkness represents everything which is against God. And he says, if we say we have fellowship with him, yet we walk in darkness, yet we walk in contrast to what God says, to what his teaching is. You see, John's audience would understand his meaning here when he said that. They would understand what he meant. It's not as if, again, looking at John, the Gospel of John. Verses 19 and following what Jesus says. "This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. So here's that word darkness again. I like it as Brother Gareth Reese says, what that means. To walk in darkness means to live without paying any attention to God's beneficial revelation of the right way to think and live. You see, these heretics in John's day, they were claiming to be living for God. They were claiming to be having fellowship with Him. But yet, they were habitually, John uses the present tense, they were habitually living in sin. You see, thoughts are involved here, as well as actions. Why? Because these heretics, which is what they were, these heretics were saying they had fellowship with God, and so they tried to justify the way they were living. They tried to justify their actions by saying, we have fellowship with God, so we can do whatever we want. We can live how we want to because we have fellowship with Him. And not only that, we have an in with Him because He's given us more knowledge than what you have. And John said, no, they're not. They're walking in darkness. And you can have fellowship with Him. And look at what he says here. It is very incompatible with the nature and character of God, who is light, who is all that which is good. Darkness and light cannot coexist, contrary to what many want to teach today. Look what he says. If we say that, we lie and do not practice the truth. Brothers and sisters, that's heavy stuff. Involved in a lie if you do that. Darkness and light cannot coexist. Reminds me, you see those bumper stickers that show coexist, and it shows a cross, and then it shows a Muslim thing, and then it shows a Jewish thing, what have you. They want to put Buddhists, Hindus, all of them in there and say, we can coexist. We live harmoniously together. But see, light and darkness cannot coexist together. That's what the scriptures say. And those other ones, things are involved in darkness. If they're not following Him, what is that? Is that not darkness? Contrary to what they want to teach today, darkness and light cannot coexist. I like what Brother Reese says in regards to this as well. He says, and get this what he says, it's not taught enough. It's not preached enough. He says, folk who think they are going to heaven when they die, but who have lived lives of habitual sin with no thought of any need for repentance, are lying to themselves about their real condition. We need to take that to heart. It needs to be taught, and preached. Because to strive to walk in darkness is not living in truth. Now, that word truth appears some 20 times in John's letters. That's one of his favorite words, truth. Remember what Jesus said. John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but through me. What John says here is that this is our true standard to which we are to conform in thought and action. The verb here is in the present tense. It's that Bruce, F.F. Bruce says, it is the truth in the inward being. It's like what David said in Psalm 51, verse 6. Create in me a heart, a clean heart, O God, he says. To what? To adhere to his truth. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being. Who desires truth in that innermost being? Our innermost being. God does. He says, truth in the inward being is what God desires in his people, and where that is present, it will manifest itself in all ways of life. So let me give you some recent examples of those who would say that they have fellowship with God, and yet they're walking in darkness. 150 religious leaders this past spring signed a letter to the governor of Tennessee calling for abortions to be kept legal and easily accessible in Tennessee. 150 religious leaders. Religious leaders in the Methodist, in the Baptist, and the United Church of Christ, Mennonites, and others petitioned the governor of Tennessee that abortion would stay in place. And what they said, let me give you an example here, let me find it here. The religious leaders urged Lee to oppose not just the heartbeat bill, but all attempts to criminalize and restrict abortion access. This is what they said. While there are varied opinions on abortion based on religious beliefs as persons with deep faith commitments, we affirm a person's right to decide when to become a parent or expand their family. As people of faith, and as Tennesseans, we believe in loving our neighbors and treating one another as we would like to be treated, with compassion, dignity, and respect. What about the unborn little ones? They have no compassion or respect for them, do they? Lutheran, Baptist, United Church of Christ, Mennonite, other religious leaders signed that. And yet they say they have fellowship with God. What are they actually walking in? Are they not actually walking in darkness? How can they have fellowship with God on that basis? There is, quote-unquote, gay Christian mayor back in Indiana, who implies that those who hold to biblical values are backward. And those who embrace the LGBTQ agenda are forward and advanced in their thinking. And yet he claims to have fellowship with God. He says he follows Jesus. Does he? Is that not walking in darkness? And a United Church of Christ pastor, female, back in Vermont in April, backed an amendment that would make abortion in all stages legal. One of her comments was this: "My hope is that everyone will hold the questions in one hand and God's hand in the other." Is that not walking in darkness? Another example. A Christian, quote-unquote, Christian abortion doctor appeared before the Seattle City Council and spoke on performing abortions and said that that abortion is a procedure that is morally good. Is that walking in light? Yes, we have compassion on those who are victims of incest, rape, what have you. But does that make abortion right? The killing of a little one? I would submit to you, no. Is it a moral good? Is that something he says to be blessed? That God would put his blessing upon that? My heavens, why he castigated the people of Israel for what they did, sacrificing their own children to the god Moloch, burning babies alive. And yet they say that they're following God? Is that walking in light? Not too long ago, a young man I don't know if he still is or not, pastor over not too far from us in Bothell, East Lake Community Church. You can find it on YouTube. Not that I want you to listen to it, because then you'd have to listen to the profanity that goes along with it. Says he does not care what the Bible says or what God says concerning the LGBTQ agenda and other things. He's going to teach whatever he believes. Is that walking in light? Or is that walking in darkness? We have preachers just like this one ministers who say that it's okay to use profanity. Is that walking in light? Why, I would submit to you not. That's walking in darkness. But as Gary Berg says, biblical scholar says, what has happened over the years is this: that in the church, in churches, not all, I would say not in ours, and not in others we know. But as he says, before long, we became so accustomed to darkness that we forgot what true light really is. I think that's their problem. Don't you? They've forgotten what true light really is. But enough of that. Because you see, we have a positive thing here, that what John says. Look at what he says in verse 7. Here's a condition, but it's a positive one. He says, but if we walk, if we live, and he uses present tense, continuous action, if we live habitually, if we live in the light, as he himself is in the light. Who's in the light? It's he himself. God is light, John says. Well, who does he mean there? Doesn't he mean Jesus? Didn't Jesus say, I am the light of the world? But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. You see that? We have fellowship with God if we're walking in his son's light and his son's way. And if we are doing so, then guess what? We have fellowship with one another. We jointly participate with one another in his life, in his teachings. It's like Mike says, what he was talking about, what the scriptures say. We're family. We're Christians as we follow him. That's just what we really need to pay attention to. This is correct. This is correct Christian behavior and teaching. But you know what it involves? It involves an attitude. It involves a mindset. What Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, isn't it? Be not conformed to this world, but be conformed to the renewing of your mind, that you might prove, that you may prove what the acceptable will of God is, which is your reasonable or rational service of worship. That's what worship it truly is. That's what John is saying. What John is saying here, but also what Paul says in Romans 12, and also what Paul says in Ephesians 5, verse 8. Notice what he says. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. No, look what he says. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk, live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. You were formerly darkness, but now you're not. Light and darkness cannot coexist. Brother Clinton Gill years ago wrote concerning this in 1 John. I think it's still one of the greatest illustrations of all of this. He says, suppose a group of people are confined in a strange room which is cast in pitch darkness. They do not know the shape of the room. They do not know where the furnishings are or what their purpose is. As these people begin to grope about in the darkness, they stumble over furniture. You ever done that before? I have. Hurts too when you've done that. They hurt themselves against what they cannot see. In their frustration and discomfort, they bump into one another. They strike out at one another in anger and animosity. Suppose now that someone turns on the light. Each occupant of the room sees the others, not as strange beings contributing to his discomfort, but as human beings pretty much like himself. He sees the shape of the room as it was designed for human occupancy. He sees the furnishings not as obstacles over which to stumble, but as items created for his own use. So he sits down and he begins to share with his fellow the blessings which the light has brought to all. So it is with the fellowship of the redeemed. When we were outside of Christ, we did not understand the moral laws of the world in which we lived. We banged ourselves against spiritual realities which were created for our benefit, and in our bafflement, we struck out at each other. But in Christ, when we walk in the light as he brings it, we realize that the world in which we live was ordered for our occupancy to the glory of God. How true that is it not? And then he says, the person who walks in darkness, and especially one who leaves the light and returns to the darkness, cannot have fellowship with those who remain in the light. So says Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 16. To walk in the light, as Brother Gill says, is to walk with Christ, to order one's life according to that which he did, as an example and taught as rules of conduct. That's why we have John's. It's so encouraging here, brothers and sisters. Why we have John's positive affirmation here. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That blood of Jesus, John, getting confused here, but what John says here, he uses it in the present tense. Continual action. Jesus continues what John is saying, cleanses us from all sin. He continues to do so in all of its sin's manifestations to cleanse us from that. But we must avail of ourselves of that. We must surrender to him. We must repent. Now the word sin that he uses here means to miss the mark. It's to miss the mark of meeting God's standards and ways. What does that mean? Just this. When we became a Christian, our sins were forgiven. The sins we had committed. But when we continue, or when we commit more sins, we still have to be cleansed of that. And Jesus has done that. But we have to go to him to do it. I like how Gary Berg, what he says in conclusion this morning for the message. He says, John is looking for a model of Christian life that is like a circle of light on a stage. Think of it that way. He's looking for a model of life that is like a circle of light on a stage, perhaps a spotlight in a darkened theater. And at once the darkness around it is most prominent. That's all you see is the darkness. A boundary is evident, and yet the circle is created by God's penetrating light. It is a light that is pure, hard, revealing, and guiding. And those who walk in this light discover lives that are knit together by God's forgiveness and redemption. To walk in this light is ultimately humbling, but at the same time, to walk in the light, as he says, it's also healing. It's also renewing. It's also invigorating. That's something we need to keep forefront in our minds continually. See? Especially in this world in which we live in. Oh, how we need that. Let's stand, we're going to sing, I Surrender All. And we surrender when we first become Christians, but that surrendering is a continual and a daily thing that we must do. See, he can't cleanse us from sins that we commit until we surrender to him, until we repent of those things.